So today, in our reflection on the Lord's Prayer, we're thinking together on this very first petition or request of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. And how often every week we pray the Lord's Prayer together. We bow our heads and we recite the Lord's Prayer weekly. Sometimes many of us pray it daily. But do we really understand what it means? And today we consider this opening request, hallowed or holy be your name. Now, as I think about that phrase, hallowed or holy be your name, I'm thinking of the 4th of July and our nation's identity, our national identity, and the blessings that we share together as a nation. And as I think about our nation's birthday, which is what, in a sense, what the 4th of July is, I'm thinking about the important place that God's name has played in our national identity. I don't know if you've ever thought of that connection before. It is in, of course, our nation's motto and on our printed currency. In God we trust. I saw a placard at a convenience store once, and it was hanging above the cash register, and it said, "In God we trust, all others pay cash." Well, that may be part of the sentiment, but here it is. Our national motto is, and still is, "In God we trust," and printed on our currency as well. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance that we recited today. We are one nation under God. When a president is sworn into office and he takes the oath of office, he often concludes, has the choice, and almost all presidents have made the choice to end that pledge or that oath by saying, "So help me God." What an incredible thought that is. I was thinking of the Declaration of Independence itself, and I went back and I was looking through it once again and noticed that 5 times in the Declaration of Independence, God's name is used. It is used, it says, God as the supreme lawmaker, God as the creator of all people, God as the source of all rights, God as the world's supreme judge, and God as our protector on whom we can rely. All of that in the Declaration of Independence. Isn't that interesting? The name Almighty God, now there's a esteemed name, Almighty God, is used in the preamble of 30 of our state's constitutions. Almighty God. And God is referred to in every one of our state constitutions in one way or the other, if not in the preamble, someplace else in the document. And so in its founding, our nation clearly, without a doubt, without a question, believed in the honoring of the name of God. Honored it. Put God's name right into the center of our national identity, and even in our documents and on our currency. And I think that we get that, or at least in part, that sense of wanting God's name honored in our national life from the Lord's Prayer, among other things as well. Because the first request of the Lord's Prayer is that God's name would be hallowed by all people, not only nationally, and not only by the church, but individually as well. And what that means is that hallowing the name of God is more than just printing it on money, or having it in our Constitution, or our Declaration of Independence. It means more than just using the name of God somewhere in print. And so what does it mean? So for that, I'd like for us to look at the Heidelberg Catechism, which is in your bulletin, printed on the left-hand column. It spills over onto the right-hand column. And I'd like to ask the question and then have us answer in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, and we'll then talk about it for a few moments together. So this is Heidelberg Catechism question number 122, and it asks, what does the first petition mean? And let's say it together. Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. It means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Wonderful words in the Heidelberg Catechism on what it means to hallow God's name. So let's just think about that for a few moments. What does it mean to hallow God's name? What do we mean when we pray, hallowed be thy or your name? First, on the negative side, there is a negative implication in the hallowing of God's name. And what it means, first and foremost, is that God's name should never be used in a flippant way or in a way that does not bring him praise and honor. It very much sort of matches the commandment that we not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. This is the negative side of hallowing God's name, that what we shouldn't do is use the name of God in a way that does not bring him praise and honor. So what do I mean by that? Very bluntly, it means that we should never use God's name as a swear word. It should never be used as an expletive or as a mindless piece of grammar. Never. We should absolutely never use phrases like OMG, even though that's plastered over the internet and everywhere else. OMG, especially if you're not praying, the only time you should use that phrase is when you're praying. We should never say JC in any other way other than to praise Jesus Christ. We should never say GD and the words that fill them out. These are all blasphemy. These are all taking the most holy name in all the universe and using it mindlessly and blasphemously. And we ought never to do it. That's the negative side. It violates the third commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So, here's some pastoral advice on this. If you have to swear, and I hope you don't, I wish you wouldn't, but if you have to, use your dog's name. All right? Think of your least favorite aunt or uncle, the grumpy one that ruins the party. Use their name. Use your least favorite politician's name. There you go. If you have to swear, if you have to use someone's name to make a point, Choose one of those. Leave God out of it. There's good advice. Save God's name for praise, for worship, and for true prayer. So that when you come to church and say, "Oh my God, I exalt you. Jesus Christ, you are my Savior and my Lord. And oh God, you are my help and my salvation," that it means something. You've saved your sacredness for worship and for prayer. So that's first. Be careful of using the name of the Lord in that flippant way. But secondly, and this is where the wisdom of the Heidelberg Catechism comes in, there is a second layer of this, because it's not only about not using God's name inappropriately. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches us also that this petition in the Lord's Prayer has a positive side, that it encourages us to do something positively. To hallow something, H-A-L-L-O-W, not hollow, but hallow, it actually means to make it holy, or to consider it holy, or to garnish it with holiness. It means that we are to adore and praise God for who he is in his character and his works. So in other words, to hallow the name of God doesn't mean that we just quit swearing with his name. That's a part of it. But it also involves us learning to know God's character and his works, and to come and adore him, adore his name because of those things. It's very positive in that sense. God wants us to be enamored with his holiness. And that is something that we can really see. Think of the time when Moses asked to see the glory of God. Think back to the Old Testament. Do you remember that story? When Moses said, "I want to see your glory." It's a very interesting story in the Old Testament. He wanted to know God, but he also wanted to see God with his own eyes and be transformed by his glory. He wanted God to be completely revealed to him, Moses did at one point. But all God was willing to do was to show Moses his backside. It's very mysterious. We're not exactly sure what to make of that. God's backside. We don't exactly know what that means, but except to say, God did not show Moses the full extent of his glory, but only a little sliver, because any more exposure of God's glory would have been too much for Moses or anyone to bear at that time. However, when God passed by Moses and showed him revealed his backside, he did something else. He revealed his name. And this is what he said in Exodus 34. "The Lord, the Lord." What a wonderful thought. "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving sin, and rendering justice." That's Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And so God says, "You know, I can't show you the full extent of my glory, but what I will do is tell you my name. My holy name." And as God tells his name, he involves in it his holiness and his righteous and glorious works. And at the revelation of God's name and character, what does Moses do? He bows down and he worships the Lord, his God. So when we pray, when we worship, we need to reflect on the character of God so that we might too rightly glorify and praise him. That's the whole point. So we may never have an experience quite like Moses had, with God passing in front of us, being hidden in the cleft of the rock, but we do know the Lord's character, and we know his works. And as we contemplate who God is and what he has done, we can ascribe our adoration and our praise and our worship to him. And the Heidelberg Catechism points out some specific things that we should note about God and adore him for: his power, his wisdom, his goodness, his righteousness, his mercy, and his truth. Six things the Heidelberg Catechism says. This is who God is. Think about that and adore him. And as we do that, that too is hallowing the name of God. But third and finally, when we ask that God's name be hallowed, we're also asking something about ourselves. We're asking that our lives might be transformed by the Lord, by His goodness, and by His holiness. That our thoughts and our words and our deeds would be honored in and through us. That God's word might become our lifeblood, as it were. And that we would more and more be transformed into the image of God. When we call ourselves Christians, we carry God's name with us wherever we go. Think of that. If you say, I'm a Christian, you're using the name of God, Christ, to identify who you are. You carry with you, I carry with me, God's name everywhere we go. And people attribute what we do to His name, positive or negative. So then, in our lives, we will either glorify and praise God, or we will lead people to think blasphemously about God. How we live has a bearing on the reputation of God's name. So we have to think about that. So we pray, Lord, hallowed be Your name, and most importantly, let that name be hallowed in me, so that my life will be transformed by God, and I will be a good witness, a good example, a good testimony of who God is. So that when people meet us, and we tell them we are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, they can say, wow, I would like to follow Him too. Because if you are like that, then God must be like you are as well. Be careful and represent His name well. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so on this Sunday before the 4th of July, we certainly give thanks for the place that God's name has played in our national life, and that we as a nation have hallowed God's name. I only pray that that will continue. I pray that each generation, especially this current one, will rediscover all that is meant in that, and that our nation would once again come to hallow the name of God and know what that means, actually, in the truest sense of the word, that we really would be one nation under God, and that we truly would be a country that trusts in the Lord God Almighty. And so as we pray the Lord's Prayer today, and maybe this week, we can be thinking of our nation in particular. Lord, in our own country, may Your name be hallowed. And as we pray that, make sure that we each pray, and Lord, let it begin with me. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.